The Calling is the name of Mary Chapin Carpenter's new album for her new label, Rounder. We'll hear some performances from Chapin live on stage at World Cafe Live. The Grammy Award-winning multi-platinum artist is taking on some deep subjects on the new album, some topical ones as well. The title seems to suggest a theme, and I asked Mary Chapin Carpenter about writing the new album.
It's not like you sit at your desk and say, okay, this is the kind of record I'm going to make. It really was the most natural, organic kind of process in terms of just the way the songs came along.
Mm-hmm.
The very first song that I wrote for the record was actually a song called Why Shouldn't We? And I wrote it because I was touring, and this was 2004, the last presidential election, the summer before the last presidential election. And if you'll recall, and it's not hard to, you know, our country is very polarized at that point. And I just had this desire to be able to open the show every night with a song that was really about hope and fellowship and tolerance and all of these things that, you know, presidential candidates talk about, but that really shouldn't be abstract or just, you know, rhetoric. It should be things that we practice every day. And I just wanted to start the night out on this note of genuine hope and, you know, trying to transcend adversity and all of that kind of thing. So I wrote that song because there was like this need for it in my set list and also in my soul. But, you know, I wanted to have that. And every song after that, it's not like every song on the record is a topical song, but even the more personal ones, it's like a bumper sticker that I saw recently. And when I saw it, it just made me go, well, that's it. That's my record right there. And the bumper sticker simply said, everything is connected, you know, and what happens in your heart, it has everything to do with, you know, what happens on Main Street too, you know, so everything is connected. And that I think is the fundamental theme of this record.
Well, let's begin with that. This is a performance from the stage of Why Shouldn't We?
We believe in things that we cannot see. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? Hands that heal can set a chained man free. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? We believe in peace within every heart. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? Burning brightly, brightly in the dark. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? So come on, darling, feel your spirits rise. Come on, children, open up your eyes. God is all around, Buddha's at the gate. Abba hears your prayers, it's not too late. We believe in things that will give us hope. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? Let your voice be heard, celebrate your vote. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? So come on, darling, feel your spirits rise. Come on, children, open up your eyes. God is all around, Buddha's at the gate. Allah hears your prayers, it's not too late. We believe in things that make us all the same. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? Love belongs to all, indeed and name. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? And we believe in things that can't be done. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? Lift up your heart, put down your gun. Why shouldn't we? why I should wait. We believe in things we're told that we can't change. Why shouldn't we? We had heroes once, and we will again. Why shouldn't we? So come on, darling. Come on, children. God is old now. Buddha's at the gate. Allah hears our prayers. It's not too late. So come on, darling. Feel your spirits rise. Come on, children. Open up your eyes. God is all around. Buddha's at the gate. Allah hears your prayers. It's not too late. Why should we?
Thank you.
Mary Chapin Carpenter's new album is called The Calling, and that is why shouldn't we on stage with some great players, some of whom we've seen with you before.
Yes.
I guess Mr. John Jennings is...
John Jennings, longtime pal, and so is John Carroll. John and I have played together at least 20 years. And Kevin Barry, who is also with us, I've played with Kevin for the last 6 or 7, I think.
I wanted to get right to another one that is just really, really powerful. And you talk about when you wrote Why Shouldn't We? And that was a few years ago. And Houston is a song that refers, of course, to the aftermath of Katrina on a real personal level. And I guess you could have written that almost any time after, but when did that come up?
That came very quickly, maybe about 3 weeks, 4 weeks after the hurricane. Our televisions were nonstop and radios nonstop about, broadcasting the images in the immediate aftermath of Katrina, and then also sort of following up on their, cross-country journeys, all of the people who were dispersed all over our country, and in particular, the thousands of people who were taken to Houston. And I just remember being haunted by the images of people living on cots in the Superdome or wherever it was that they took people, and weeks after that, still living there, And it's not like I sort of saw this disaster and said, "There's a song," I don't mean to. It's too awful to think that way. But when something kind of gets under your skin and starts haunting you in such a way, you just kind of can't ignore it. And I obviously wasn't writing from experience, but rather I was just trying to address something, a feeling perhaps, the sense of loss that just was everywhere. And the saddest thing was people being interviewed and saying, "I don't know where I'm going to go, but I know I can never go back." And they'd lost everything. So, I just tried to capture that somehow.
2, 3, and... Mama's got her baby sleeping in a grocery cart. Daddy's eyes are hazy, wondering where they are. waiting on the buses, waiting on some providence. Once we get to Houston, maybe it will all make sense. Pray to the Father, call for the cavalry. Look at all this water, and somehow not a drop to drink. Now, did you ever hear of nightmares coming in the light of day? Once we get to Houston, maybe they'll just wash away. Roll on, Mississippi. Goodbye, Crescent City. Lay on to New Orleans, never coming back to stay. Never been to Texas, hope this bus is on a tear. Never seen the president, maybe he will meet us there. And I never knew a promise that didn't break right in two. Once we get to Houston, maybe one will come true. Roll on, Mississippi. Goodbye, Crescent City. Lay on to New Orleans, never coming back. I dreamed of rain, but golden light was all I saw. I heard my old dog barking, I went to see the Mardi Gras. And I stood up on the banks and looked out over Pontchartrain. Woke up here in Houston, didn't even know my name. Roll on, Mississippi. Goodbye, Crescent City. Lay on to New Orleans, never coming back.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Houston, that is a new one from Mary Chapin Carpenter on The Calling, and we're getting a chance to find out a bit more about the songs as we talk with Mary Chapin today. One of the things that jumped out at me from the album was that I haven't counted up. I don't know how many albums you've had, but you dedicated this to your father. Why this particular one?
My dad never told me to go get a real job. You know, when I would show up at his house to eat dinner about four nights a week because I, you know, didn't have any food in my refrigerator, he never once said, you know, go get a real job or anything like that. He was just always supportive. And because I suppose of the subject matter of this record and how very autobiographical it is, you know, as much as sort of looking out into the world, it seemed right to be able I wanted to be able to say in print, you know, we give our parents fits most of the time, and I wanted it in print how much I appreciated all that he had done for me in helping me realize, you know, this existence of mine.
Now, do I have the story right that he was the one who said, hey, go down and play that open mic?
Yes, he was the one who, he and I were living in D.C., and I would play guitar in my room, you know, with the door shut tight. And there was this bar right down the street that would have open mic sessions on Sunday nights. And one night he just said, why don't you just go there? And it just never had occurred to me. And so I did. And that was the first time I ever, you know, I mean, I played a song and ran off the stage and in fear, but it was the first time I ever played at an open mic or anything like that. And so, you know, it's his fault.
Well, in my voluminous research, I was reading that there was actually a time around that time that you were thinking of giving this up. You didn't want to perform anymore?
Well, it's playing in bars and stuff. I mean, there was a period of time where I found myself with just a bunch of really great folks who were songwriters, and we were all kind of interested in the same thing. And this open mic on Sunday nights was a great gathering place for folks like us, you know, misfits like us, to sort of find each other. And you know, after I got out of college, I was, you know, temping, and I was doing all sorts of things, and I was sort of playing in these bars and clubs. But there was a period of time where I just got so tired of it. And I think I wasn't really sure what I wanted from it. I didn't have this notion of, oh, I'm pursuing this goal or that. I was just trying to make my rent, basically. And after a period of time, you know, you kind of burn out, I think. And I definitely feel like I did. And I just didn't want to do it anymore. Or I didn't want to do that anymore, whereas sort of playing what I would call sort of top 40 acoustic music. So I just decided I was going to look for a real job. And I ended up, you know, just on the verge of taking something. And then I had the weekend to think about it. And Monday morning I woke up and I just said, I'm not ready to walk through that door.
Well, this might be a good place to play the song, The Calling, because I was wondering if that was the personal aspect of that.
Yeah.
That you, because, well, let's explore that a little bit, because first of all, it's the calling to write, to perform.
Yeah.
Then it's the calling to write your own songs. And then you want to get known and you have hit songs, and God knows you've sold enough records and won five Grammys. Does the calling become deeper even after that?
Yeah, I mean, the last verse is, I don't remember a voice. It's like, I'm not one of those people. I remember someone telling me that they named an artist who said that they knew when they were 10 years old that they were going to follow this path and do everything they could to pursue this musical life. I didn't have those kinds of feelings. I was playing music because I just loved to play it, and I enjoyed it enormously. And in my private time, so to speak, I loved to write songs. And writing songs was the way I made sense of the world and how I expressed myself. I was a shy person. I am a shy person. And don't have to have the thickest skin, I suppose. And so writing songs was a way to sort of helping myself. It was therapy. You know, people say that it's true. You know, it was when I started to kind of play out and find more response, I suppose, to what I was doing. That was sort of the point at which I felt like I'd like to pursue this as much as I could.
Well, tell you what, let's hear The Calling.
Deep in your blood, or a voice. voice in your head. On a dark, lonesome highway, it finds you instead. So certain it knows you, you can't turn away. Something or someone has found you today. Genius of Jesus, maybe he sees, but who would believe this? I can't really say. There's no other way. There's zealots and preachers and readers of dreams. The righteous yell loudest and the saved rise to sing. The lonely and lost are just waiting to hear. Any moment their purpose will be perfectly clear. And then life would mean more than their name on their door, and that far distant shore that's so near. They'd hear the call, the stumbling and falling. They follow it, knowing there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I was only just trying to outrun the noise. There was never a question of having a choice. Jesus, Jesus, maybe they'd see me, but who would believe me? I can't really say.
That is The Calling from Mary Chapin Carpenter, and it's a song about a lot of things, including figuring out what you're doing with your life. And I think a lot of the album is about that, about faith and a lot of things like that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about some of the things we were just talking about one's, the arc of one's career and how one sees it and one's place in it at all. Looking from this vantage point, back at the Come On, Come On experience, having hit songs up for a Song of the Year, all these amazing things that happen. And you talk about luck. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on that one. I don't think it has all to do with luck. But what was going on in your life and in the music business from this perspective that you see that kind of helped that happen?
I just think that, I think now if I were, 20 years younger and I was, perhaps doing the same thing I am doing, obviously there's a few caveats there, but if I found myself in Nashville, for example, there's no way, in my opinion, there's no way I would have gotten a record deal. 20 years ago, it was a really different place. And And I was as surprised as the next person to find myself there with a deal with the country division. But I started looking around and seeing people like Roseanne Cash and Steve Earle and Rodney Crowell, people who I loved their writing. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, I do want to be here. This is that Guy Clark, hello, that's just what I love. So all of a sudden I felt like, well, this doesn't seem so odd. And it wasn't odd at the time. I think there really was something, there was an open, a more open kind of atmosphere, I think, to different kinds of artists. I don't think it's quite like that now. And but I think that's what accounts for why I was able to find a home there for a while. And I'll never forget it. It was just a wonderful time, a wonderful time.
And it's interesting you bring up people like Roseanne, who had a home there for a while and now seems to have moved away in a different place. And mm-hmm. its audiences have really changed. Mm-hmm. Talking about polarization, I think what we call the country radio audience is even more kind of polarized. I mean, it looks like they gave up their biggest artists, the Dixie Chicks, and they've moved on.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And yet they're still being on ballots and stuff. They're still
winning Grammys, shall we say.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I bring that up because it's a neat way to segue into a song you seem to have written for them, which...
Well, I didn't write it for them as much as I just in the end. The day that I finished it, I just was in such a heated state that I just said, I'm just going to dedicate this to them. Right. But their experience, certainly, the backlash to the Dixie Chicks situation, that inspired the song.
This isn't for the ones who blindly follow jingoistic bumper stickers telling you to love it or leave it, and you'd better love Jesus and get out of the way of the red, white, and blue. This isn't for the ones who buy their six packs at the 7-Eleven where the clerk makes change, whose accent makes clear he sure ain't from here. They call him a camel jockey instead of his name. No, this is for the ones who stand their ground when the lines in the sand get deeper, when the whole world seems to be upside down, and the shots being taken get cheaper, cheaper. This isn't for the ones swallow everything their leader would have them know, bowing and kissing while the truth goes missing. Bring it on, he crows, putting on his big show. This isn't for the man who can't count the bodies, can't comfort the families, can't say when he's wrong, claiming I'm the decider like some sort of messiah while another day passes and 100 souls gone. But this is for the ones who stand their ground when the lines in the sand get deeper, when the whole world seems to be upside down, and the shots being taken get cheaper, cheaper. Let's go. See above me three little stars in a great big sky, light for the world and hope for the weary, they try. This isn't for the ones with their radio signal calling for bonfires and boycotts they raid, exhorting their listeners to spit on the sinners while counting the bucks of advertising they'll save. This isn't for you, and you know who you are, so just do what you want, cause I know that you can. But I've gotta be true to myself and you, so on with the song, I don't give a damn. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
On with the song, finishing up our session live on stage at World Cafe Live. Mary Chapin Carpenter's new album is called The Calling, and we thank her very much for being our guest today.